They are at the 44-yard line of the Chargers. Taylor out to the left side. And Ricky Waters to the right. And a play fake. Young goes deep middle. He's got Jerry Rice. Touchdown 49ers. First touchdown of the game. Comes after only a minute and 24 seconds. 44 yards. Touchdown pass to Rice. He sets another record.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Good Morning Niner Empire. Welcome to our Friday show here on Niner FIFA Radio.
The evening edition.
The evening edition. We are still working on the name. I'm so sorry. Yeah, if you've been around a little bit, you know why it was called Good Morning Niner Empire. And when, right now with my schedule, it is not applicable for it to be that anymore. Yeah. We are workshopping the name. Alrighty. So this show, if you guys have been following for the last few weeks, we're going to kind of do go through the Friday press release before our game on Sunday. And it is, we are Sunday night football this weekend. We are the primetime Sunday night game against the Broncos.
Gotta wait all day long.
I know. It's going to be a long day.
Yeah, then. We're going to get up, do some stuff in the morning, and the wife's a Packers fan, so we'll watch that game, and we'll go straight into the Niners game.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad. That's cool. That is nice. I mean, man, I wish I didn't work on Sundays so I could actually be home and watch all the games, but probably a good thing. Well,
with how early I get up, I'm pretty much going to be half asleep by the time I, if not fall asleep before the end of the game. Good chance. Aww. Because I gotta get up at like two, so it's like I'll be by the middle of the third quarter, I'll be fighting it hard.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it gets to a point where maybe you're like, I'll just catch up in the morning. Let's go to bed.
It never does. Every primetime game, I end up staying up way too late.
I know. It sounds like my dad. My dad, he's on the East Coast, so. The Sunday night games and the Monday night games are very, and Thursday night games are hard when they play because they're super late and he normally he's very much an early person. So he's just like, it drives him crazy. Alrighty. So are we ready to go through some of these presser things from Kyle and looks like D'Amico Ryans? All right. We'll play this one.
He's doing as good as you can. Trey's been great. A number of guys, we've all talked to him a bunch, and he's trying to come to the game this week. I don't think he'll be able to until swelling goes down and stuff like that, but he'll be back in part of us sooner than later. He's doing as good.
All right, so that was Kyle Shanahan on how Trey Lance is doing after his ankle injury from the game last week against Seattle. I talked a little bit about this in the presser, but I haven't really actually gotten a chance to really talk to any of you guys about Trey Lance's injury and any of your guys' thoughts on it. I didn't see the clip of the injury. I just seen him getting carted off the field in the big cart and then just been keeping up with the updates that it's season ending and he's had surgery on it. What are your thoughts, Jason? I don't know if you want to rehash it. I know you probably talked about it a
lot. Obviously, as far as how it goes for Trey, it sucks. You know, wish him the best recovery. yeah, I mean, it just sucks for him. It's him losing another year of development on the field. and I know you've heard me talk about how much I want a Trey drafted, and I championed that from the get-go, but I'm starting to worry a little bit because now we're going to be pushing 4 years almost where he hasn't played a full season of football. And that does worry me. And then also with the way this roster is constructed on who gets paid now and, you know, in the next few seasons or so, you know, you'd want him at a certain spot developmentally by the time we start getting, you know, to like 2025, 2026, where as far as it goes to paying some of these other players. But we're just going to have to see what's going to happen. And I guess we go into a yet another offseason with what's going on with San Francisco 49ers quarterbacks.
It never ends. I really was excited once the season started because I really thought this is the year. Trey's the starter. We still had Jimmy, but Trey's the starter. We're gonna get past this Trey versus Jimmy or like quarterback, all this stuff. No, it's gonna be here all and especially if Jimmy plays well. And Jimmy looked decent in when he played. He looked okay. So
he looked good to start. You know, the first half, but the second half, he kind of cooled off a little bit. And this team reverted back into what we've seen for the last, you know, 4+ seasons. It's a Jimmy Garoppolo offense. Although they actually did let him throw deep and he threw to the outside and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's a little bit different in that aspect. And Jimmy has said that he hasn't felt this good since, you know, 2018. Kind of, okay, well, we'll see what happens.
Yep, we'll see. I mean, Jimmy said something in the post-game press conference after the game where he said that Kyle just kind of let him go out there and just kind of throw.
Yeah.
Which I think really works for Jimmy's play style because I think that felt very much like 2017 Jimmy when he came in those 5-6 games at the end of the season and got us to 6-10 in 2017.
He's always been a good ad-lib player, as long as we let him go. You know, like, hurry-up offense, he was always very efficient. So, I mean, that does have merit. When it's talking, you know, if you just let him go and kind of do like that, he seems to play better that way.
Yeah. I guess we'll have to see how it goes. I think the one thing is, regardless of what side you're on this whole quarterback thing and how you feel. I mean, I think at this point we know what we have in Jimmy. And while I agree that Jimmy's not super elite quarterback, he is a quarterback who can win us a lot of games. And I think that is good. So we'll just kind of have to see what happens. See how he looks on Sunday against the Broncos and all of that. See if there's a difference of him knowing he's going to be starting this week and getting those first team reps in practice and all of that fun stuff.
It's kind of amazing that, you know, he literally did nothing the entire offseason, but, you know, they had him on a separate field away from everybody and this and that. And lo and behold, we're back to Jimmy as QB1.
I know. Like, you can, like, and I had, like, listen, I am not a Jimmy hater. I have a Jimmy G jersey in my closet right now that I wear on special occasions. And I was so hyped for him in 2017 and felt so bad when he went down in 2018. I think he's handled a lot of this like pretty well because it could have gotten really messy with all this back and forth and like all of the stuff that's kind of happened. At least to me, like I feel like but we'll just kind of have to see what happens. At least we know that Jimmy can win a lot of games, so I think that means we're still in the ops for the playoffs. So, in that respect,
The team is still talented enough to get a, you know, like I said, the same team more or less has gone to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. It's gone to an NFC Championship game. And, you know, both of those we were in contention to win until the last second. So, I mean, and I know, like I said, I pushed hard for Trey to be the starter. I never actually disliked Jimmy or even his play style to an extent. What I didn't like was that he missed so much time with injuries. And in certain aspects of his game, he's actually degressed a little bit from where he was when he first got here. So, again, I've never disliked Jimmy, you know, or parts of his game. And like you said, if there is anything that I don't understand the hatred for Jimmy when he has been nothing but a class act for the most part with dealing with everything. You know, you never hear anything really negative about him for the most part. So, like I said, I don't hate Jimmy. In fact, you know, if right now he's the QB1, I support him 100%. I got, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, too many people are either San Francisco Jimmy fans or San Francisco Trey fans. Not enough people are actually San Francisco 49er fans.
Yeah. And like, you guys know me, I've always been I've always liked Jimmy. But I was excited to see Trey start this year, to be honest with you. I wanted Trey to get those reps, to get those starting, be the starting quarterback this year, just see what he could do, because we haven't really seen anything. Just let him get that experience. Like, I was ready for it, for all the ups and downs. And it just, I think you summed it up well earlier, is that it just, it sucks more for Trey than anything. It's just he's losing this valuable time.
That's the biggest part to me.
Yeah, that's what hurts the most when I think about this whole situation. Because I listened to this at work, and I heard Trey Lance is down on the field. I'm like, oh, no.
I watched it, and I was like, before they showed it, I was like, something's wrong. Because they cut the commercial really quickly, and I'm like, that's kind of odd. And then when they came back, that's when you saw the cart, and I was like, oh, shit, what the hell?
Yeah. Because I didn't, like, when you listen to it, you can't really tell, like, how serious it is right away. And then I heard that I didn't really hear anything the rest of the game. I just heard that he's going to the locker room, got carted off. So I'm like, okay. And then I was just, like, in my head the rest of my shift, I'm like, please, please don't be season ending. I was like,
oh, so you didn't see that picture that was going around then pretty quickly afterwards?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, there's
within 5 minutes.
Yeah, within 5 minutes, that picture of his ankle was going around pretty quickly.
Okay, yeah. Because I didn't even realize it was, I was just like, my whole worry was I thought it was an ACL. Yeah, I just heard lower leg injury. So I'm just thinking in my head, I'm like, please don't, like, are you serious? If this is an ACL, this is like ridiculous. Just like of everything that's happened with injuries with the team over the last few years. But then I heard ankle injury. I'm like, all right. And then I was like, then I heard season ending. I'm like, oh, that sucks.
Some people think he'll be back in the playoffs, but at that point, it's just like, you can't, it's going to be too much to bring him back.
No, Kyle's already said, I would play the clip, but it's literally just Kyle saying Trey is out the rest of the year. He's not coming back. They're going to want him to really heal and rehab that ankle and make sure once he can move on it after he heals to get back into movement and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just a bummer. All right. Next clip is D'Amico Ryans on DJ Jones, because DJ Jones is now on the Broncos. So here we go.
Yeah, DJ is a tremendous player. I love working with DJ for, you know, past 4 or 5 years is working with him. He's a great guy, you know, off the field, really great guy and a really great player. The thing I think for our guys preparing for him, they just have to work together, right? Just understand nobody's out there by themselves. DJ, he may make a few plays, but we just have to make a few more plays than him, try to keep him out of our backfield. Yeah, DJ is a tremendous player, right?
All right, and that's on DJ Jones. I must have missed it. I didn't realize he was on the Broncos or anything like that. But I saw something on Twitter today or yesterday of him being just fired up for this week. And he said in the statement on this week, he says he has no ill will towards the 49ers. It's just this, whenever you get to play your old team, you just get fired up. So. I just remember DJ was always pretty solid and stuff. So just see.
I would, you know, I've never actually played against an old team, but I would, even if you leave on good terms, like he's saying he does, you always want to put the, you know, get that little umph in there, like, hey, you shouldn't have let me go. You should have paid me what I was worth. I remember if he was a free agent or exactly. Well, no, yeah, he was a free agent, but yeah, I'm sure there's always something like that. Even with the best amicable breakups.
Yeah, for sure. All right, here's our next clip on D'Amico Ryan on, I think this is, let's see, let's just play this.
It's an example. I mean, things that he's looking for, if it's like a certain alignment by a tight end, he wants to know, hey, if it's a certain motion, like what are they doing off of that motion? So he's always asking, you know, very great questions in meetings. Always engaged, always, you know, making sure me as a coach, I'm on top of my P's and Q's as well, right? Because he's gonna ask some good questions. Just an example. I mean, things that he's looking for, if it's.
All right, so I believe that is our new safety, our young guy. I'm trying to think. Huff. He is a safety. I'm trying to remember his full name.
Talanoa Hufanga?
Yeah, Hufanga. Hufanga. That's the name I was blanking on. Yeah, about him, because he has really shied this game. Like this year, particularly, I feel like he has just played really, really well. And there's actually quite a few D'Amico Ryan's clips on him, but I think we'll just skip at that one just because I think that one sums up. He's really surprised me, and I'm actually really excited to see what he does moving forward and how he's just, they've all really held their own with Jimmy Ward being out in the back and stuff, and they just played really well. So
they have. Like I talked about with TJ the other day, and not to put the pressure on Hufanga, that, you know, to me, his play style is very Troy Polamalu-esque, when the fact that, you know, he's not just a coverage kind of guy. He's not just like Darrell Revis, who's back there, or not necessarily, but anyways, he's not someone just back there getting interceptions. He's not just somebody like a Jamal Adams, who's always up against the line making playing in place. He's always everywhere, you know, disrupting the game from all points, all over the back end of that of the defense. So I definitely want to, you know, hopefully, you know, he just keeps continuing to grow in that position. And much props to Gibson. Gibson's been playing some really good safety on the opposite side of Hufanga. And I kind of want to see the three of them in the, you know, play safety together when Ward gets back. I'm kind of interested. You can almost let Hufanga almost be like a, you know, pretty much just roam wherever. And then with Gibson and Ward back there in coverage, you know, I kind of like that idea. And that's probably the reason why we didn't go after, you know, like me and a lot of people were like, why are we not going to get Jaquaski Tartt now that he's not playing for anybody right now? Well, we know why. The coaches knew what they had in Gibson, and he's been playing pretty damn good right now.
Mm-hmm. No, really, they are. Like, there hasn't been very much of a drop-off of Ward being out at all.
What's up, Beto?
And stuff like that. And I'm just like, I know, with Ward coming back, if you can just let Hufanga just, like, roam around, like, that'd be pretty interesting. Let him roam around, like be a little ball hawk trying to find the ball, get to the ball or whatever he needs to do. Yep. So like that has a lot of potential. And I really want to see that. All right. Here is Kyle Shanahan on injuries before the game.
All right. Injuries, Brunskill will be out. Ty Davis Price is out. Croft is out. McKivitz is questionable and Armstead questionable. All right. Injury.
All righty. Brunskill is out for the third week in a row. That I feel like since he hasn't practiced, I think that's no surprise to a lot of people. Hasn't really been practicing. Price being out makes sense. And then Eric Armstead's the one that I'm curious about because of his foot injury. I believe it's a foot injury is what they're calling it. About his injury, so hopefully it's nothing too serious and he is able to play, but I don't believe he's practiced the last 2 days.
The only thing with Armstead is that even as good as he is, at the very least we have the depth on the D-line that we can absorb it a little bit better compared to some of the other positions if someone was to go down right now. So, I mean, obviously we want Armstead on the field, but like I said, with, you know, of course we carry 9,000 defensive linemen on this team every year. So, you know, the drop off isn't going to be as much as it is. What's up, First Take? TDP, I was really, you know, with Elijah down right now, I was really hoping that we get to see a bunch more of him, but now we're not. But that's why we also pulled up Marlon Mack. And then we also signed Tevin Coleman to the practice squad. You know, Tevin Coleman was an instant one to where we can kind of plug and play. Not sure how he is, you know, is ready to go physically right now, but he knows the system. He's played in it before. You know, like I said, it's an easy one to go over to.
Mm-hmm. The running backs is a little bit concerning, but with Coleman being signed to the practice squad and with us elevating other people, I think we'll be all right. Because Kyle's made his magic with getting like undrafted guys and like being able to make them be very efficient runners in this system. Mason.
We'll see what Mason's got now that he's going to be back number two behind Wilson.
Yep. So we'll just have to see on that. All right, I have two more clips. I have Shanahan on Kittle.
He's good to go. I thought he got better each day. He's good to go. I thought he got better each day.
So basically, George Kittle is playing. He's officially off the injury report, I believe, as of today. So he will be playing this week. Kittle is ready. This is Kittle's first game of the season, so I feel like he might have a big one just because he wants to play, depending on the game plan. But, I'm pretty excited. It'll be nice to see Kittle back out there.
Yeah, I thought that he might have tried to push himself for the home opener to get back on the field for that. But if he wasn't ready, he wasn't ready. And interesting, he's ready to go now that Jimmy's behind center again. I know. Just for shits and giggles, I saw that and I was like, interesting there, Kittle.
It is a little bit interesting that he's ready to go and then Jimmy is back under center as starter. It's just because we know that Jimmy and Kittle are pretty close. So.
Yeah, that's his outlet, man. That's a security blanket. It's always been George. So, like I said, I kind of laughed. I was like, it's a little, a little conspiracy theory going on there that,
Yeah. All right, and I believe this is a clip of Kittle talking about playing or Shanahan talking about Kittle playing.
Pretty happy,
yeah,
I would say. Yeah, I mean, definitely just had a breath of fresh air, honestly. Yeah. It feels great to be back on the football field with the boys. I love our performance staff. They do a fantastic job getting us back together, but I'd be okay with not really seeing them for the rest of the season. just really happy to be back out there catching the football. Actually getting to put pads on, hit people. It's fun. Pretty happy.
Yeah.
George Kittle, ladies and gentlemen.
No, that's a very George Kittle response to that question. I feel like we're all excited, just as excited as Kittle, just to see him out there.
He's the heart and soul of this team. It's just that,
really
that
is. Simple. At least
he may not necessarily be the vocal leader or any of that kind of stuff, but he really is the heart and soul of this team.
Yeah. I'm just excited, and I think it'll be a good game. I think he'll have a decent game. I think they'll try to get him some receptions and stuff like that, and we'll just see.
Kittle can take off some of those underneath routes and let Ayuk and Jennings and Debo and all those guys go a little bit deeper, because apparently, like I said earlier, Jimmy wants to throw deep. So we'll see, hopefully that – can you imagine if Jimmy all of a sudden has, like, his arm back from, like, 2017 and he can go deep with all these throws and everything like that, and then all this underneath stuff opens up. It's like, wait a minute. Maybe Jimmy just was hurt for all these years.
Oh, my gosh. That would be insane. If Jimmy's able just to all of a sudden just hit these deep shots, and then, that would be pretty funny.
The knock on him is he can't throw outside the lines. He can't go deep. And all of a sudden, look, now he's doing these things really good.
The funny thing is, in practice videos, we've always seen him throwing, these longer passes. And he just doesn't – I don't know if it's the game script or what it is, but he just doesn't do it in the actual games. But during practice, we see him throwing down the field a little bit. The clips I've seen. During off season and stuff, and during some of the practices.
The only thing I can say to that is quote Allen Iverson. Y'all talking about practice?
Yeah, I know.
That's the only thing I can say to that. Just you do it pretty decently in practice. Why can't you at least try it in the games?
I know. I just hope if Jimmy does start throwing deep, that he just every once in a while he'll just take a shot down the field just to see what happens.
Yeah, and you just gotta open up just a little bit.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be your go-to, but if you can just, throw one, maybe once or twice a game, and if you hit one, great, just kind of see how it goes,
Yeah, because you got to take the shot, because at very least, if you take that shot and you hit on one or two of them, somebody's going to start, questioning, okay, do I break this way, do I break that way, You have to try, at the very least.
I agree on that, because I think that's part of the problem, is that he just wasn't, I don't know if it's just Kyle not giving him the plays or he just wasn't doing it. And so then defenses were able to stay up closer and then take away his really good spot, which is that middle of the field on those kind of shorter routes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Alrighty. Well, that is all the presser information. Are you ready to start previewing a little bit of this Denver 49er game for our first primetime game of this season?
Indeed.
Which would be exciting. And I'm excited because I might actually get to watch 90% of the game at home this weekend instead of listening to it.
Always a bonus.
Always a bonus. My first thing is how much of a – I mean, obviously it's Russell Wilson, so he's obviously going to be a factor. But do you think that us having – played against him so many times over the years, I feel like gives us a bit of an advantage going into this game? Maybe not a lot, but just like it gives us something. At least he's not like unfamiliar.
Yes and no. I mean, obviously, like you said, it's definitely Wilson. We've seen him a few times before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know his game. The offense is going to be slightly different. They actually got a decent running game going right now. But yes, I mean, you know what Russell Wilson's going to be. You know what he's going to do. You know, he's going to run around. He's going to throw deep. He's got two good wide receivers to throw to in Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. So, I mean, but he also has two good running backs in Williams and Melvin Gordon that are, I think right now they're like 10th in the league in overall offense. But you also have to take that. Have you watched any of their games?
No, not this year, no.
So, they're 1-1 right now. You know, of course, they lost week one to Seattle in a decently close game. Then they lost last week to the Texans in a game where they just looked ugly, as about as ugly as can be. In the Seattle game, they should have won that a lot easier, considering that even though they lost, they should have been up probably 20-0 by halftime. They fumbled twice in the red zone. There's a lot of similarities because, you know, a lot of times with the Niners, we'll get down there, we'll kick a field goal, and then that ends up biting us in our ass on the tail end of the game. It's the same thing going on with them. They're just not being able to put it in the end zone. They should be blowing some of these teams out. They just can't finish. So
interesting.
But they've also played Seattle, who you saw what we did to Seattle as far as shutting down their offense. They're not a great offense with Geno Smith back there. You know, he's not getting anything deep to Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, like Wilson was. And then it's the Houston Texans. There's not much there to talk about except for the length of David Mills' neck. So,
yeah.
You know, other than that, him and the running back Price, there's not much there down in Houston. So neither game they look terribly impressive in for the most part.
Mm-hmm. But
they still have a ton of talent around them. Like I said, a lot of people are – having them go to the Super Bowl, at least have a really deep playoff run. So, again, they are a decent team up front.
Interesting. I didn't realize that they had such – I totally forgot that, like, Melvin Gordon was, like, one of his running backs. I don't know why. And he
the is – ageless wonder.
I know. He's solid. So that's
top 15 in the league right now in rushing, but, I mean – Houston and Seattle. I mean, again, you've seen what we did to Seattle, and Houston's just as bad right now. But you got to do that kind of stuff to win, so they're doing it pretty good right now.
Yeah, it's just giving Russell Wilson a decent running game is interesting.
Wilson has been running for the most part, you know, kind of like with Seattle, running around. Mm-hmm. Neither Houston nor Seattle have the kind of defensive line and running back and linebackers and defensive backs that we have. So if he's struggling against those types right now, you would think that us, who we are the number one defense right now in football, should be able to get to him a lot better, you know, unless it's just Russell Wilson doing Russell Wilson things where he just runs around for 10 hours and throws it deep and gets a touchdown.
Right. Interesting. Where do you think I was listening to a different podcast. Like, in the background, and they were mentioning that this matchup feels very much like our strength versus their strength kind of matchup. Like, how is their offensive line? Do you know? Have you heard anything? Do they have a decent offensive line? Do you think our
they're okay, but they're not like top of the end top of the tier of the NFL.
So you think our defensive line could take advantage?
We should be able to run them over decently well, at least from the off. You know, if you put their O line versus our D line, we should be able to get to Wilson pretty decently most of the game.
Okay. Because I think that's going to be a huge factor, is just making him as uncomfortable in the pocket as we can.
I don't know if you heard, but after they played the Seahawks, Pete Carroll basically came out and pointed to everybody what Wilson's weakness was. He basically said, if you flush him out to the left, he can't throw. And as I was watching that game, I was like, man, he cannot roll out to the left at all. And then, like I said, Pete Carroll, which I think is kind of funny, he's basically throwing shade on Russell Wilson, but basically said, yeah, if you roll him to the right or to the left, he can't do anything right. And the more I watched it, and then I watched a little bit more of the highlights, I was like, man, he really can't do anything rolling left. So we just load up on that or the right side and push him to the left.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. There's obviously me living up here in the Seattle area, I see all of this stuff, and it's gotten really chirpy with what's going on with Wilson and all this, you know, who was right, who didn't like who, and the drama. It's gotten kind of ugly up here. Like, I always thought Wilson was kind of shady to an extent. Like, I thought the good guy image was a little bit fake, and mm-hmm. I was told for years, no, you just don't like him because he's a Seahawk quarterback. Now everybody else is seeing it, and it's just like, hmm. And up in the press box, or not the press box, but they had a suite. There's a bunch of old Seahawks up there. There were, you know, Cam Chancellor was up there, Richard Sherman, some of the old wide receivers and stuff like that. Basically, they were there just to dog on Wilson. And Sherman just came out and was like, look, man, you've been the bad guy for years. We've been trying to tell you this. So it's kind of funny. It's just, like I said, I think it's hilarious. But he's still Russell Wilson. He's still a good quarterback. So we'll see what happens. But the drama around him is quite interesting.
Yeah, I feel like that is interesting. Because I remember hearing that he lost, that Seattle was, like, fired up and, like, won that their opening matchup against them. Yeah. And I was like, that makes sense. And I remember, I feel like I read somewhere where Tyler Lockett was on somebody, I don't know if it was Lockett, one of the other players who's been on the Seattle team for a while, was recognizing some of the stuff that Wilson was doing in his huddles and stuff, like some of the hand gestures or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was able to kind of guess what kind of plays he was doing based on that. And whatnot. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I always had a feeling that, like, the Legion of Boom era, like the defensive players on that Seattle team, did not vibe super well with Wilson.
They did not.
And, like, I kind of knew that, but now that it's coming out a little bit more, like, clearly, that is kind of interesting.
Yeah, there is more and more it's coming out. Like, look, man, almost to an extent, kind of like Jimmy, where it's like, look, you got all the publicity, but we carried you. But whereas, like, You can say that with Jimmy and the Niners, where it's like, look, we're the ones that carried you, even though you got all the publicity. But the hatred isn't there. It's like Jimmy's not going out there trying to, I don't know, overshadow his players, you know, the rest of his teammates. So it's kind of funny how you have one player who in Jimmy who, yes, you're being carried, but the rest of the team isn't also looking down upon you, where it looks like with Seattle, the rest of the team has been looking down on Russ for all these years. So like I said, the drama is just kind of funny behind it. And I get to hear all of it living up here.
That is interesting. That is interesting. All right. Well, is there anything else that you think we should talk about? Or are you ready to wrap
up? We already talked about DJ Jones being a former Niner on that team. We also have Kaywan Williams, who is the other starting cornerback opposite of Patrick Surtain. Not sure if he's going to be starting or not. And then Tom Compton was actually left to go be a Bronco as well, but I don't even see him listed on their 53 right now, which I found kind of interesting. So, but other than that, yeah, let's see what else I got over here. They do have, you know, their defense right now is number eight in the league, But again, we play the Houston Texans and the Seattle Seahawks, two of the teams who are not scaring anybody with their offense. But at the same time, they do have Randy Gregory and Bradley Chubb. So they have decent pass rushers. So I still think this is definitely a winnable game. We'll see how the guys do when they're up there in the higher altitude. I wish this game was closer to the Mexico City game, considering that Mexico City is like twice as high as Mile High Stadium, or however much, you know, it's quite a bit taller. I would have loved to have those two games back-to-back, but yeah, I still think we've got the overall talent advantage, and we should be able to win this game decently. I'm not going to say easy, but it should be a win for us for the most part.
As long as we do what we're supposed to do, we should come out.
Exactly, yep. Yeah, control the clock. I guess you can say it all depends on, you know, a lot of it's going to come down to the running game as to what's going on with the running backs that we have and how much wide back we run Debo.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think Debo gets more play time with Jimmy as quarterback? Do you think that's going to affect any of the wide receivers with Jimmy being back under center?
Do you mean do we do more wide back stuff with him?
Like, just do you think that they'll get more targets in general? Or, like, do you think somebody will get more targets with Jimmy? Do you think there's any merit to that?
Like, yeah, I do think Debo is going to play more of that wide back position, back in the backfield and stuff like that, which – so he might get more overall touches in general with Jimmy back there just because we need the ball in Debo's hand. You know, you want the ball – or you want the ball in the hands of your playmakers. Obviously, Debo's the best playmaker that we have on this team. But – that probably lessens a little bit of his catches, but then we still have Ayuk out there. You know, we still have Juwan Jennings. Curious to see what happens with Danny Gray, Danny Gray being the speedster out there. Jimmy, not necessarily the greatest deep ball thrower, where Gray is at his best. But then we also have Ray McCloud, who has been doing, you can almost call him a wide back light kind of a player, to where he does some of the same similar plays as Debo. He just doesn't seem to hit them as well, but he definitely lines up in the back and moves around like Debo.
Interesting. Okay. I was just curious. I just want a question popped in my head.
Yeah, like I said, we'll see what happens. You know,
I think this game's going to be interesting. See if Kyle, any of. Go ahead.
Oh, I was drinking.
You're good. Sorry. Yeah, just seeing if Kyle is going to change anything up with his game plan now that Jimmy's back there. If he had a different idea of what Trey would be able to do if Trey was playing and stuff like that.
I think the game plan overall won't change as much, as we're still going to be a run-heavy team. But being down Elijah as well as, you know, Trey, you know, probably more stuff to Debo in general, probably maybe some more power. Because obviously we're not going to be running Jimmy like we ran Trey. So, you know, we're not gonna be running quarterback power four times in the first quarter.
No, probably not. Probably not work very well.
No, definitely not with Jimmy.
No. I just remember, and I think it was an LA Rams game, when Jimmy, I think, was running for a first down. I have never seen him run so fast in my life. It was pretty funny. And he looked like he was still being dragged down by, like, shackles, just of, like, how he was running.
The only quarterback I've seen worse when that running out in the open, like how bad as he looks, is Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was the absolute worst quarterback to run out in the open. He just looked just lost
out there. Just some – it's not their skill set. It's
no, like – there's one when he was on the Colts. There's one bootleg that he ran to where I think it was probably Edgerrin James he was handing off to, and they bootlegged Peyton on the outside. And I swear it took him a minute and a half to run to the pylon to get it. It just was the slowest running thing I've ever seen in my life. It was just like, wait,
oh my God,
why can't someone catch you?
That is funny. All right, is there anything else, or do you think we covered everything?
No, I think that's about it. I'm going to say 28-17 Niners. Jimmy's probably going to go for about 220, two touchdowns. I could see something like that.
Yeah, I'll say 21-14. one score game, kind of close. I could see Jimmy. I think we're, I know we went up in favorites, but I'm not sure.
Let me look real quick. What is the spread? Okay. I didn't want all that extra bullets. We're favored by 1.5 points, and that's with them getting the automatic 3 for being at home.
Dang.
So you can almost toss that up as being almost equal. And that, like I said, that's with them being at home.
Yeah.
So
it'll definitely be an interesting game, I feel like. It's just funny how we're playing Russell Wilson on a different team.
We can't get rid of him.
I know. It's just like, really? It's like the one year he leaves finally, but we have to play that division that he goes into.
Yeah, and obviously that's arguably the best division in football.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The nightmare never ends with Russell Wilson.
Nope. He will forever be a haunt. To 49er fans for everything.
For sure.
Alrighty. Well, I believe that is it, guys. So thank you guys for tuning in to our Friday evening show. Good Morning Niner Empire. We are still working on the name.
The evening
edition. Evening edition. If you guys have any suggestions, feel free to comment on any of our videos. I will look at them. And all that stuff. All of us will look at them and take a vote or whatever. I'm terrible at coming up with names. That's part of the problem. It's not my strong suit at all. But we will figure it out.
I personally think since I drink during this one, it should have something to do with drinking, but that's just me. Obviously you don't. So.
I don't know. We'll workshop it.
We'll figure out something.
Yeah. So if you do have any suggestions on names, feel free to send us a comment or a Twitter. We're on Twitter, so if you want to send us a tweet, we're at, I believe it is at 9OFFaithfulR, I believe is the Twitter. And then we are at 9OFFaithful Radio on Facebook and Instagram as well. So if you have any ideas, comment on any of our posts on Facebook, Instagram, wherever. We're everywhere with the same I believe the same profile picture. So if you just look for our little profile icon, you'll be able to find us.
I will say that with this week, TJ is actually out in Denver. So be looking for TJ out over in the Denver, obviously at Baja Stadium. He will be doing the pregame show. I will be doing the halftime show. And yours truly, Jamie, will be doing the postgame show. But like I said, I'm not sure exactly what he has planned, but I know there's some stuff he's going to be around all weekend long just because, like I said, he's going to be up in Denver. Mm-hmm. Or he is in Denver. I was talking to him earlier today. So, you know, stay tuned. He might have some behind the scenes things for going on for being there and everything. And other than that, it's going to be business as usual for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So definitely stick around to our socials in case TJ posts anything extra stuff on there. He might. And then just so that way you guys are aware of our schedules for the pregame and the halftime and postgame shows. Post-game show is still scheduled to go on at about 9 o'clock. The game should be over by then. 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. For East Coast guys, that would be about midnight, your guys' time. If it does go later, I will go live as soon as the game is over in case something crazy happens and we end up going into overtime or something. So we'll just kind of keep an eye on it since it is a little bit of a later game. That's why I picked the 9 o'clock, but we should be fine. I'll give you guys.
And then we'll definitely be on Tuesday and then next Friday.
Yeah.
I'm liking these Friday night shows, by the way.
Oh yeah. These are a lot of fun. I just like how more like laid back show, get to talk about everything from the week. It's nice. It's cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Alrighty, guys. Well, thank you guys for joining us. I know we had a couple of viewers pop up during the show. So thank you guys for popping in, and we'll see you guys later. Have a good weekend and go Niners.
Deuces. Go Niners.
Go Niners.